as we celebrate the birth of Christ, there are so many different things that can overshadow it. And I'm the type of person that thinks that we can celebrate on several different levels. Nothing wrong with the good food of the season, amen? Nothing wrong with the good fellowship of the season. Nothing wrong with goodwill and all of those things. And then I think what we ought to do is just pause and look at the birth of Christ. The dialogue around it is just absolutely incredible. There's so many life lessons. Last week we looked at the fact that Joseph and Mary seemed to have a contentment in their life, even in the midst of what we would have called less than ideal circumstances. And that was because they were willing to trust God with all of it. Everything that came into their life, they were willing to trust God. Now, I know that's a broad brush to paint with, but it's very powerful principles for us today that as we celebrate the birth of Christ, what we asked the question last week, am I willing to trust God with the circumstances that He has brought into my life? Are we willing to do that on an individual scale? Because a lot of times, if we're not careful, we might be serving God for, well, I hope that God makes my life easy. Well, the longer I live, I find out life's just hard. Amen? You always think this. You think that, well, now I can't say this here because I work here, okay? But this is when I worked at Woodmoan, you know. That co-worker that never smiles. You ever see those? You have those? You'll walk in, you say, it's a beautiful day. Yeah, but hang around, it's going to rain. You know, or how are you doing today? Like I told you a story months ago about the night watchman to come in. He always said to me, how are you doing? He said, terrible. And then I finally realized that he was enjoying being terrible, as he said. And I said, great. And the first time I said, great, he was found out, okay? So, and then what we think a lot of times is, you know what, if that person was just removed from my life would be better. But somebody else takes the space. You know, it's in the paper. It's an ad that's filled out looking for a miserable person, you know. And so, but Mary and Joseph, as they took time to reflect on what God was doing in their life, it produced that peace. It produced that joy. That's what we talked about last week. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at different events that took place in the birth of Christ. And we're going to follow that same theme. What lessons are in there for me? Rather than sitting like we could have looked last week and say, you know, I'm just waiting for the circumstances to get better. And we think, well, that's not ever going to happen. You know. But we do know this, is that we have the promises of God that one day we'll be in His presence. In this life, we're going to have, I lost the word now, trials. We're going to have trials in this life. That's what it's going to be. That's what Job says. That's what the Word of God says. But my Bible says that I am supposed to count it all joy with my trials. But one day there'll be a time with no trials, but it's not in this life. It's when we stand and we're home with the Lord. Can you imagine the time? You know, in heaven there's no knee replacements. Amen? There's no knee replacements in heaven. There's no hip replacements. No? Right, Ken? No? Yeah. You know what? The Bible says that there's no pain or suffering, no death. Amen? That's what it's all about. And one day, boy, just think of all the different afflictions. And you know, I think our world glories in scaring people to death. You know, they advertise drugs on TV. Isn't that incredible? Did you ever actually listen to the side effects of those drugs? And it's like, why would I want to take that? So the world glories in that. But now, let's look at this passage, and as we look at what Mary, what we call Mary's song, her praise to God, we're going to see some things. First of all, to get right into it, is the birth of Christ is a story of hope. Mary is talking about great hope in what we call Mary's song. And these are just these three little check marks that I put there on your sheet. I didn't want to call it A, B, and C. But ordinary people used of God in His plan. That's what she was talking about. She literally says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Verse 48, "For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaid." When you think about this, there's so many things that we could talk about in the birth of Christ. But as we talked last week a little bit about the shepherds, the announcement came to the shepherds, not to Herod. Isn't that interesting? Who were the shepherds once again? And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about, do you realize that when, I believe it was Samuel came to anoint the king of Israel, he went to the house of Jesse, right? You Bible scholars, you got that? And Jesse brings all his boys out except one. And what was that one son doing? He was the shepherd, right? Did you ever realize that? When I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking, Jesse really didn't even think a whole lot of the fact that, well, he's just out there with the sheep. He won't be anointed king. Even when David went at his father's instruction to when we have the story of David and Goliath, his brothers were there and they were the warriors in the family. Well, what are you doing here? Why don't you go take care of those sheep? Right? So when we think about shepherds, even in the Old Testament, it was not really that great. I mean, we call it an entry-level position, but I think I misspoke with that. I don't think it's an entry-level position. I think it was just a job of low estate. And yet the angels came to the shepherds. I find that just absolutely incredible. And here, if we're not careful, we want to have vibrant careers. We want to have titles. And I got all kinds of titles. Yeah, I can remember one time where I forgot that I had a master's degree. I just forgot it. I got my diplomas out. I was going to frame them finally. And here it was tucked behind my bachelor's. It was like, oh, yeah, I have a master's degree. So I stood up and went like this. And then I sat back down. The angels came to the shepherds. That's refreshing. See, ordinary people used of God in His plan. Now, God brought the wise men, didn't He? I think that they were educated people. You know, if we're not careful, here's what happens. We think, Christianity don't like educated people. Well, we ought to get educated, shouldn't we? Aren't we supposed to know God's Word? Come on now, amen? Oh, yeah. Do you realize this? The first schools in the world were put in place to teach people to read the Word of God. How far has our educational system come? Amen? So anyways, ordinary people used of God in His plan. We could say so much more, but mercy is given to those who fear Him. That's what Mary is declaring in her song. Verse 50, "And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation." And then as she was declaring is that God is the avenger of His people. And you say, now that doesn't really mean a whole lot to us, but if you put it in context, is that the children of Israel so wanted a Messiah to come simply to release them from the bondage which we're under. And here's where we're going to struggle a little bit. We're going to struggle because we're not necessarily oppressed. You say, really, Pastor? Well, we're not. We're meeting here today freely, are we not? I mean, we might get upset when somebody says happy holidays to us. Oh, it ought to be a Merry Christmas, right? And that, you know, but here's the thing. If we look at the context, the nation of Israel were under Roman rule. That's what they were. They were being oppressed. Now, we might think April 15th is oppression, right? You know, tax day, I had to remind you of that, right? Yeah. That's coming. Yeah, you ever notice they don't send the tax, they don't send those forms out on the 26th of December. They wait and they give us a whole week, you know, the 1st of January they come out. But no, see, we're going to struggle because we're not necessarily oppressed in our faith. Now watch this, even in the expression of our faith, you might disagree with me on that. We're going to go out caroling, and we're going to go in public places. And we've done some preliminary work this last week where we went into Nottingham, and they, with open arms, says, please come. And they didn't say, now, we don't want you to sing about that Jesus. They did. And we're going to sing about Jesus. We're going to declare Him Savior. Amen? He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. And we get a chance to do that. And we called down to ManorCare, and they said, it'll be wonderful. Thank you so much for coming. And they didn't say, now we want you to sing about Frosty and about Santa, but none of that about Jesus. They didn't say that. So we're going to struggle when we look at this and say, as Mary's saying, God is the avenger of His people because He is the avenger of His people. Now, maybe other places in our world today that would carry a little more weight or challenge us a little bit more. And I'm only being honest with you. If we're not careful sometimes, we realize that we're going to struggle with some aspects. So A is this. As we look at the birth of Christ as the story of hope, I just wanted to put that in there about Mary's song, first of all, to get you to think about some things. Aren't you glad God uses ordinary people? Amen? Amen. Aren't you glad that mercy's fresh and new every day to those that fear Him? Absolutely. And aren't you glad that God is the avenger of His people? And we may think that ISIS is winning, but you know what? ISIS is not winning. My God is the avenger of His people. Amen? Amen. Now, A, the backdrop for His coming is sin and its consequences. As we think about hope, I mean, when we think about hope, we've got to have a backdrop. The backdrop of Christ coming to this world is sin and despair. The promise was given in Genesis chapter 3. Just as man fell in the Garden of Eden, they're cast out of the Garden of Eden, God gives the first messianic promise. And it's a promise of hope. And it's a bright picture that God plants. The fulfillment of God's promise made immediately following the fall of man, the nation of Israel was looking for God's Messiah. Even though they rejected Him, He still offers hope. He lived with those who took advantage of Him, much like our world today. Think about the life of Christ when He was in this world. Why, when they found out that He healed people, everywhere He went, He drew crowds, multitudes gathered around. And yet when He preached and challenged them, they turned and walked away. And you know what we're going to see even in our day today? Much of our world is like that today. They want Jesus for what He can do for them in the physical realm today. And you know what? Jesus is the same Jesus that He was back then. And you know what He gives? He says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And you know what? He gives eternal life. And the life that He gives us in this world according to the gifts of the Spirit is a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of love, but also a life of long-suffering. Also a life of gentleness, a life of faithfulness. Amen? That's what it talks about. And there's others, and we could, but I'm not talking about that today. See, so first of all is this. The backdrop for His coming is sin and its consequences. Man is sinful. And all around us, we ought to be reminded every day of that sin and its consequences. All you got to do is, and I don't do this a lot because I have to admit, it discourages me. You turn on the news. I got into the habit of when I wake up and I get ready to come into the office, I don't watch TV. You know why? Because I don't want to drive down the road. You know. I got an idea. Let's do this. Let's start a news channel that's all good news. And you know what? We're going to go out of business right away because nobody will watch us. Because nobody wants to hear good news, right? Everybody wants the dirt. And sometimes it makes us miserable. Sometimes it gets me where I despair at times. So, the backdrop for his coming is sin and its consequences. B, the world needs the hope that only Christ can bring. Now, so as we look at this lesson, and this is what the birth of Christ is all about, the message of hope. And what is that hope? This hope is the only hope. I like to listen to presidential campaigns. It's interesting. Is it not? It is so interesting. Because here's what's happening. And I'm not going to get political in here. I'm just going to make a statement, and I'm sure you'll agree with me. You'll agree with me because I'm a pastor. You'll say, yeah, right? But what a candidate wants to do is to try to develop an atmosphere where people will have hope and that they will put their hope in him or her. Right? Isn't that what they're doing? And so what happens if we're not careful, here's what we think, is that, you know what, my life will be happier if the right person is the President of the United States. Right? Come on now, amen? If we're not careful, that's where our hope lies. And then Christians get walking around like, what's the matter with you? Well, I'll tell you what, I'd be a lot happier if we had won the election. Right? Where's our hope? Where's our hope? Come on now, amen? Where's our hope? Our hope ought to be in Christ. That's what it ought to be. You say, well, we're not doing everything exactly the way we want to. Oh, that's okay. That's the way it's always been our whole life, isn't it? I mean, I never agreed in kindergarten that we had to sit around tables. Right? You know? I never agreed in first grade that my pencil holder couldn't hold three, and the teacher told me to put one on the desk. I hated her from then on in after that, right? Right? It started off young, questioning why we do things. But see, here's our hope. And what it ought to be is this, is the world needs the hope that only Christ can bring. And so many things in our life are offered as hope. And I'm going to tell you this, folks, they are hollow. They are not fulfilling. Everybody thinks this. I live in America, and I want to be a part of the American dream. And yet, our biggest mission field ought to be that group because they have it all and are lonely, unfulfilled. Because I got the family they say I ought to have. I got the home they say I ought to have. I got the job that I ought to have. And what happens is I lack something. And they don't lack something. They lack someone. And that's Jesus. Amen? Why do you think our world, not our nation, why do you think our world is struggling with addictions that they do? Because they're looking for something. Amen? I'll tell you what. Guy could stand out here in the corner and sell heroin all day, but if nobody bought any, he'd have to go out of business. Who knows? He might start selling umbrellas or something. Be a little more, right? Now think about that. Why do the drug cartels carry so much weight? Because they service a clientele that's willing to pay for it. And if people had Jesus, their business dries up. Amen? So, Let's see. We're on number two. The birth of Christ is the story of the faithfulness of God. I talked about this a little bit last year, but I don't think that we can go through our celebration of Christ without realizing that that is what the birth of Christ is about. It is about the faithfulness of God. Now, I know He uses ordinary people, and that is wonderful. But watch this. He keeps His promises. God always keeps His promises. Do you know Jesus said that He would come again someday? Amen? Now listen, that's a promise, and it's going to happen. Just as sure as He came the first time, He's coming again. Amen? Well, I don't know. I haven't seen Him. He's coming. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about, when we think about the birth of Christ, there was Joseph and Mary, they were minding their own business, and all of a sudden an angel appears to Mary, and she's like, whoa. And then the angel comes to Joseph in a dream, and it's just like, I think about this, is that, wouldn't it have been wonderful to live at that time? But look at all the people that rejected Him. You know what? It may be in our lifetime that the trumpet will sound and Jesus will come back. Amen? Let's not lose our vision. Let's believe God and His promises. Amen? The writers of the New Testament, under inspiration of the Spirit of God, wrote as though Jesus was coming back in their day. Amen? God keeps His promises. Do you know what? He says this. He says this to Dave Dressler. He says this to you today. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? It's a promise of God. You say, watch this. You say, well, there's times in my life where I just don't really think He's there. Well, that's just what we think. The reality of the situation is that He is there in all His power, in all His strength, in all His glory, every moment. He's never left us. Amen? Why? Because He said that. Those are just a few of the promises, but God does. That's the faithfulness of God. We see that in the birth of Christ, just as it was prophesied. I read an article 15 years ago, and it said, do not open until Christmas. And the writer of the article likened the prophecies of God concerning the birth of Christ as presents that were under the tree. Those were promises. Did you ever do this? And maybe some of you younger ones are doing this. Picking a present up under the tree and shaking it. Do you remember that? Or weren't you allowed to? It's like, you pick it up, you shake it, and you guess what it is? You go, well, I guess that's going to get returned. Oh, yeah. And you know what? Those promises of God, those prophetic utterances of God concerning the birth of Christ. And we put, do not open until Christmas. Now, I know, you know, somebody can jump up and say, well, this isn't really the day that Jesus was born. But we're going to celebrate this. Amen? Because He did come. And He was a babe in a manger, as the Bible says. Now, watch this. Are we, as we read of the prophecy surrounding the birth of Christ, do we see that as the present wrapped and we're shaking it, and that present was opened at the birth of Christ? Amen? Now that's incredible. What other promises does God have for us? And you know what? God will always keep His promises. Now watch this. B, I like this. Regardless of how it looks. And C, always in His time, not ours. And when we talk about the faithfulness of God, about keeping His promises, what it is regardless of how it looks, you look around and say, oh, well, look at this world. What are we going to do? Trust God. Believe God. Amen? Think about if you would have been a Christian living in Germany during World War II. Regardless of how it looks, you can trust God. Amen? You know what? We can believe God and we realize this, it's always in His time, not in ours. And that's what we struggle with the most. Because we want it. Didn't you ever do this? Oh, my grandson is, it's so great having a grandson around because it reminds me of so many things. When he wants something, he has a hard time with in a minute. He has a hard time with that in a minute. I have to admit, he can say grandma more times in a minute than I think Carly ever could. How about it, grandma? He starts off real slow at first, grandma. And if grandma's talking to someone, it's grandma, 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 grandma. As a matter of fact, he gets saying it so much, we're trying to find the switch to turn him off. Because when you finally say, what? He's not done yet. But isn't that just the way it is a lot of times? I mean, I sit in traffic sometimes, and I think, oh, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, what idiot designed this road system? They certainly didn't have me in mind. Right? But isn't that the truth? We want everything on our time. As a matter of fact, a lot of times we struggle. Did you ever do that? I don't know. Maybe you're a person like this. If it jostles your schedule, you're done for the whole day. Oh, I was going to get up at 7 and I got up at 7:30. Oh, the whole day is gone. Right? I don't know. You know, you say, Pastor, what kind of schedule do you keep? I just take all the important stuff and I write it on a piece of paper and I throw it up. And then the one closest to me I take care of. Right? Because that's the way our schedules are. And don't get me wrong, a lot of times you say, well, you don't want people to... No. It's just that our lives can change and our schedules change sometimes by the minute. So here God has promised us, we see His faithfulness, and we're sitting there, okay, we didn't come back this last year, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to trust Him. Because it's, regardless of how it looks, you might say, I think ISIS is going to rule the world. I don't. Why? Because God is God. Amen? Amen. You know what? I'm just going to have to trust that it's always He is working whether I can see Him or not. Amen? Come on now. Amen? Isn't that the truth? That's right. What we want to do is make sure, you know, like the disciples came to Jesus. Jesus, who's going to sit on your right hand? Who's going to sit on your left hand? Right? See, that's what we want. And you know what? He just says this, no matter what happens. You know, as we come into January and we take some time to reflect back over the year, are we willing to trust God with this past year? Are we willing to trust God for the next year if He gives us breath and if He tarries His return? Are we willing to trust Him? Trust that He knows what He's doing. And then number three is this, the birth of Christ is a reminder that with God all things are possible. This is what I see, is if we're going to talk about hope, see, we might say, oh, my hope is that God is going to give us the right elected officials. And you say, well, don't you think God can do that? God can do anything He wants to. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, and He turneth it whithersoever He would. Old Testament. Did God not raise up heathen nations to bring judgment into the nation of Israel that they might fall on their face before God? Come on now. Amen? Is that not true? We have Old Testament there, right? And here's what we want. We want to put God in a box. We want to get Him out and say, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. So, what do we... With God, all things are possible. For Mary, it was having a baby. That's not anything new, except she was never with a fellow. That's pretty new. Okay? That gets my attention there a little bit, doesn't it? I know this, got Joseph's attention. Right? Yeah. And when Mary said, how could that be? Because that challenged her, right? See, she wasn't like Abraham and Sarah, where she said, okay, I'm going to help God out on this. She said, how can that be? And the angel said, with God, all things are possible. Right? With God, all things are possible. If I'm going to live, if I'm going to see hope in my life, I think we see hope in the Christmas dialogue, in the Christmas story. See, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The immediate context is a woman who is a virgin. She was to have a child. Think of the lost estate of man. Dead in trespasses and sins. His only hope is in Christ. Only God has the power to give life. That's what John 1, 12 and 13 says. And so, as we look at this, all things are possible. As we consider the Christmas story, will I allow myself to be challenged? That who are you praying for right now that's lost that you don't think will ever get saved? I want you to think about that, because see, that's a reality. Watch this. Did you ever hear somebody say that? There's no hope for that person. Did you ever hear someone say that? Yes, there is. And you don't know what God is doing. I'll tell you what, and I know you're going to get tired of hearing this, and I hope you never do, because I think it's the biggest story of hope that I have in my life is that I never thought that I would hear my father cry out to God and ask Jesus to save him, okay? And I did. And it wasn't the first day after I was saved. It was after I was saved. For 39 years. You don't think that I didn't think many times in my life that that is hopeless. And you know what? Here's the thing. As I am praying for people, and as I am asking God, am I willing to trust him with it? Oh, I have to admit, there were many times when I talked to my father where I walked away and I didn't think that I did an eloquent job. Right? But I can remember this, sitting at his kitchen table, Dave, I don't know if I believe with all my heart. And when the conversation took place, God intervened in a powerful way, where we had complete freedom to talk very candidly about sin and hell and Christ, and he's the only Savior. And my father said, I need Jesus. Wonderful. Don't fret. I used to fret when I was at Woodmote and I have all these young people working for me during the summer and say, Lord, I want to talk to him about Jesus. I just don't know how it's going to happen. And yet God, in his power, would do it, and I would walk away every time saying, wow, that's a God thing. Too many times, I guess I should have brought a crowbar today. Too many times we want to walk around with a spiritual crowbar and we want to walk up and we want to just pry stuff open. Amen? That doesn't mean we ought to sit around all the time and go, well, I just don't think it's the right time. Right? But watch this. See, all things are possible. We see that in the birth of Christ. Am I willing? See, the birth of Christ is filled with uncertainties and woe. And yet they believed God because they believed that all things with God were possible. See, A is this. We might think we are past hope. And each one of these statements that I put together, I finished up with, it is possible. See, we might think our nation is past hope, but it's possible because with God, all things are possible. Amen? My life, a lot of times I might think that I'm past hope. Have you ever thought about that? As we struggle in this life, has God been dealing in your heart with change in your life right now? As the Word of God is preached, as you study the Word of God, as He's speaking to your heart, a lot of times it's like, oh, I can't change it. But God says, with David, with me, all things are possible. We might think that we cannot rise above the tide, but it is possible. The tide of apathy that has swept our world, our land, we can we rise? We might think that we can't rise above it, but we can. Why? Because with God, all things are possible. Amen? Oh, my. That doesn't mean that we walk into... See, what we think a lot of times is when we think about these things is that, well, my pastor just wants me to walk around. And I illustrate that every once in a while. You're not supposed to go to Weiss and take your Bible and take the biggest Bible you can and lay it in the part where you're supposed to put the eggs in your cart, right? And you're not supposed to walk down through there. And it came to pass in those days. There went, and you say, what are you doing? Reading your Bible. Well, read your Bible in whole. Amen? Amen? You say, well, how am I supposed to live this out? Well, next time that person's in front of you going too slow, don't hit him in the back of the legs with the cart, okay? Don't do that. I see some folks who have already done that because they're laughing. They're going, that's happened. So usually I do that to my wife, right, honey? So now I'm not even allowed to push the cart anymore. See, all things are possible. We might not think that we can rise above the tide. We might not think, is that, okay, I am to be a bright and shining light in this world. And it's just like, I can't do that. Well, I'm going to tell you today, according to what happened in Mary's life, what happened in Joseph's life, what happened in the life of the shepherds, what happened in Simeon's life and Anna's life, in the Christmas story, with God, all things are possible. Amen? And that's what I see in the Christmas story. It was so great. We're still unpacking stuff after a year, okay? But we found the little manger scene that we had, right, Karen? And Blake got so excited about that, and we put that up, and you want to put that right in place. And I forget what I was going to say, but I forget what I was going to apply that to. But let's do the last one. We'll go home. Yeah. Maybe it's all things are possible and get unpacked this year, right? Yeah, that would be it. Yeah. But watch this. In the birth of Christ, do we see these things? Are we reminded as we put these things together, as we display them, that am I willing to trust God with His promises? Am I willing to live with hope in a world that I have to trust God in? And am I willing to trust Him that in His time He is going to do what He said He will do? And then last but not least, we might think it is overwhelming. And well, what is overwhelming? Life. Did you ever find yourself overwhelmed? Oh, my. Did you ever say this? If one more thing happened today, and it doesn't happen. Yeah, because God knows right where to bring you. Right? Isn't that not true? I'll leave that one for another time. I was thinking about something, but then See, let me close up with just these few statements with very little to say about it. The birth of Christ is filled with uncertainties, and well, I already said that, but let me continue on. They were under the rule of the Roman Empire, and incidents were taking place, and many were affected. Just the presence of an occupying army brought with it a whole set of discouragements and fear. Will the hope that is recorded for us in Mary's song be our hope for this day? I don't think I can say it any better than that. Let's pray. Father,